It's a very, very fascinating pasuk that I think is a marvelous introduction to avodah on doing elul. The Rachaim HaKodesh brings that the first few pasukim of Kitetze that generally falls in the first week of elul is actually a moshul for the Yetzer Hara. Kitetze l'molchama alivecho. Our greatest enemy is our Yetzer Hara, and it's referring to a concept of fighting with the Yetzer Hara. And he brings over here a beautiful piece over here, Kitetze l'molchama alivecho. The whole discussion over here, beautiful, beautiful piece of the Aruch Chaim HaKodesh, a long piece, and I do suggest you look at it. But there's one particular point I want to bring out from this pasuk, and I think it's a fantastic insight. Kitetze l'molchama al oivecho. Oivecho is Lashon.
What
do you mean? What's Lashon? Look at this. Second. Al oivecho. What's oivecho? Oivecho is your plural enemy. Well, oivecho means your plural enemy. Oivecho.
You singular, enemies in the plural.
V'nesonoi Hashem alekecha biyodecho. Unesonoi.
In your tests.
Unesonoi, Hashem will give him. You, unesonoi, which means Hashem will give him. How many enemies are talking about now?
One.
Which means kiseitze l'molchama al oivecho. Go to make molchama al oivecho on your enemies. When the Hashem will give him Hashem lekecha biyodecho in your hands, b'shavisa shivyo, and you'll get a shavisa shivyo, and you'll get a and you'll earn yourself a captive. So obvious question is the pasuk does not have grammatical balance. Either you're talking about over here many enemies, or you're talking about a singular enemy. Why talk about your enemies? And Hashem will give him in your hand. Hashem will give them in your hand. Number one. Number two, what's kiseitze l'molchama when you go out to war, alivecho? It should say kisilochem. When you go out and fight. When you're going out to fight, what's kiseitze when I go out? The din of going out. What happens if I stay in my house and I have downstairs a bunker, and a bunker there they have a satellite vision of the enemy and I can press buttons? Well, that's not called going to war. What's kiseitze going out? What's the din of going out? What's the concept of kiseitze? So the Balaam must say a very, very powerful point. They say that ultimately a person is challenged with many different problems within their ruchnius. A person has strengths and a person unfortunately has weaknesses. And the weaknesses a person has often confuses a person, in as much that they think that they are at one time about taiva, about gaiva, about and the mushkos, they have bad mit, and a person gets so confused within actually who they are that it's difficult to go and actually sort yourself out, to actually take yourself in hand and become a better person becomes almost impossible. It becomes a task that is beyond the realm of the norm. If a person though works on trying to identify who he is, and he tries to work through the issues that actually affect him on a day-to-day basis, he'll come to an amazing revelation that in fact all his challenges that confuse him during the day are in fact one challenge. In other words, very few people are born with bad midas that are about taiva and about gaiva and about this and about that. Mostly, generally, a person actually has one particular aspect, one particular concept that is challenging them, and if they get that under control, everything seems to fall into place. Let's say a person has a sugya of laziness. A person's lazy. A person knows that. A person's lazy. Therefore, if a person's lazy, getting up for chakras is a problem for him. Okay? Fine. His day carries on. Learning during Seder is a problem for him because he doesn't want to put his mind to learning. Fine. later on, there's a concept of doing chesed. You've got an opportunity to do chesed bein asdorim. Someone needs the house, removals in the house. He doesn't want to do the removals in the house. Okay, he's lazy. Then he comes to a concept there of tidying up his room. Yeah? So if a person just sees, without focusing exactly what his needs are, he thinks, I'm a person that has got no connection to tefillah, I'm a person who can't learn, I'm a person who, who's a mush, has got bad middos, I'm a person who's not tidy, and where am I supposed to start? What am I supposed to do? Where do I get, what? Do I work on my hasmada? Do I work on my davening? Do I work on my seder? Do I work on chesed? What am I supposed to work on? Everything comes jumbled. If a person realizes and starts focusing, and he realizes and begins to see that there's one focal point, there's one particular point that's getting at him, and that's laziness, and he works on Zerizus, then everything else falls into place. He suddenly realizes he can get up, suddenly realizes he's learning, he's doing chesed, and he's doing his rooms tidy. Everything else falls into place. But the idea is that one has to focus on that point. When he goes out to Mochoma, which means a person goes out, he leaves himself, he begins to see from outside himself. He goes out of who he is or what he is and begins to focus on Mochoma, on actually conquering his desires, conquering his Eitz Hara. He leaves himself, he goes out, he tries to become objective. Al Oivecho, on what originally seemed like Oivecho, your enemies, Unasamei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him, the enemy, into your hands. Because what seemed like all his enemies beforehand, when he make proper Mochom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you to see there is one enemy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them into your hands, and you'll capture it and you'll be able to conquer it. That's the idea, which means a person's got to focus now on Elul, not on 50 different things. A person's got to go state Sinan Mochom, step out of themselves, and begin to identify what is it that drives me and what is it that pulls me down. And they'll see, sometimes it's covered, sometimes it's taiva, sometimes it's gaiva, so various different things. But it's what seems like oivecho, many, many enemies. No, it's one thing, and the samaya kushboch will give you that and be able to conquer it. That is a concept of Elul. Very simple. It's very simple to go through Elul and go through tshuva and focus on things that are not negeir to you anymore. Rebbe always says that. A person works on Yom Kippur and he starts doing tshuva and he bangs al chait and he's sad and he's miserable for all his old averus. No connection with anyone. Coach Baruch, I'm so sorry, I ate cheeseburgers. And he spends his whole Yom Kippur working on cheeseburgers. And the Yetzer Hara is delighted with that. Because as long as he doesn't work on his issues that actually going to change him now and make him better now, he can focus and cry as much as he wants on that. Whether in Hilchus tshuva you have to, you don't have to, that's a different subject. But what you have to focus on now is what is my failings now, and what are my positive attributes? What tool do I have to get out of that? That's in the Sodom. That's Kisei Tzedon Mulchoma. You got to focus on that. That is the idea of the beginning of Elul, the first passion Elul. Starts with Kisei Tzedon Mulchoma and with Vechol in the Sodom. Someone wants to ask something?
I was just
going to
say, then you also have to do the tshuva on the cheeseburgers, because if the damage is done spiritually, you have to get rid of that.
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
5 minutes. 3 minutes.
If it's not negated anymore.
3 minutes. Hashem, I'm sorry for that. 3 minutes. V'chatosin if nechatomid. 3 minutes. Gone. Done. Done. But now it's a concept of what's facing you now.
Should I have to chiv on that with your having physically?
I'm not going to Hilchus Tshuva. I'm not going to Hilchus Tshuva. That's halacha. Mitzvah will come to that factor in halacha. But I'm just focusing now on the musa of these things. It's a beautiful posuk. It's emes amita. Again, when a posuk musa, it's got to be something that actually is within pshat. Understand? I don't like to learn, give over a message of musa which are. It's something that, if you look through the posuk carefully, it's supposed to hit you straight between the eyes, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to learn musa from that posuk. Not like, you know, if you read like that, and it's a gematria, and the gematria comes out with the pol yetzer, with the pol nichnas, and you work out with the atbash, and it comes out with gaiva, and therefore it's got to be something that actually the posuk starts off. The posuk talks about divorce. The posuk says,
Kaftalit,
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting pasuk. Kof Dalet, Perek Kof Dalet, pasuk Aleph. Anyone needs chumashim? There were chumashim over here. All being used. Okay. Pasuk is this. Ki yikach ish isha. Okay. Any chassanim or future chassanim or married people, it's on the gear. Ki yikach ish isha. Perek Kof Dalet, pasuk Aleph. Ki yikach ish isha ubalo. A man takes a wife ubalo. She didn't find favor in his eyes. Is anything you can divorce her for anything, even from burning a certain dish? It's a mishnah, one of the last mishnahs in Gittin. The cross of Lord Sefer Krisus, and he writes for her a divorce. And she leaves his house. Okay, that's a whole concept of shlichus and get, nosam beyod, etc. There's one word in this pasuk that's supposed to open your eyes. Ki yikach ish isha ubalo. Ubalo. Ubalo means and he has relations with her. Now, the Torah, every word of the Torah is counted. Not only is it counted, the Torah decides very often to leave the principle and the rule of having minimal amount of letters to get round to speak blosh and nakir. To speak in the clean language, like it says by instead of behema tameira, behema asher enena tohira, that is not clean. Here the pasuk says ki kachish isha ubalo, man has relations with her. Why is that necessary? Well, are you trying to learn something that a person's supposed to have relate? I mean, what's the idea here? Obviously, a person gets married and supposed to have children. Then, so what's the idea over here? Ki kachish isha ubalo. Why is this ubalo over here? What for? What's it for? Gemara doesn't seem to talk too much about it. What's Ubala? What's the lashon of Ubala? Yes.
Maybe that was his initial motive, and once he had what he wanted, now when he looks at it differently, lotim sachem came beinav. Now he doesn't just realize it's just a regular.
Very similar. Okay, I want to say good. I want to say something very similar. Good. I want to say this. The Bala must say this, and I've heard this in a different part. A person enters marriage, and marriage is a give and take. Yeah, the wife gives and the husband takes. No, it's the idea, the concept there of a marriage institution, and the institution is an institution, and therefore what it means is a person could appreciate that marriage is the greatest musa sefer. If your wife doesn't make you into a mensch, your kids will. Yeah, getting up in the middle of the night and you're dreary eyed and every midah that you may have had beforehand of laziness and of caste and everything else, it's completely, unless if you want a marriage to work. I'm not talking about if marriage doesn't fizzle out. If you want a marriage to work and to be a good father, it's the greatest musa sefer around. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like getting married. Okay? Now, if a person enters marriage like most people in the Western world enter marriage, as what can I get from it? It's a contract. You're supposed to deliver this, and I'm supposed to deliver that. And therefore, if you don't, you're supposed to do this, and because you didn't, you owe it to me. And if you don't owe it to me, therefore you start claiming it backwards and forwards. Then marriage is over. If the person wants marriage to last, it has to be a situation where you concentrate on giving and taking a get eventually, but you concentrate on giving. Ki yikach ish isha ubalo. If the person goes into a marriage, as he takes his isha, he's interested in himself, ubalo. He's interested in the relations. He's interested in a pleasure. That's what he's interested in. He's entering marriage for pleasure. That is what he is focusing on. Ki yikach ish isha, not for anything else. Ubalo. He's going into the marriage for basic human pleasure. Then, for holiness timsachem be'enov, the marriage is going to fall straight down the tubes. There's no lasting to that marriage. So a person is going into marriage clearly for his own benefits, for his own physical pleasure. Then eventually, if his wife doesn't do it, it's going to break up the marriage, his kids are. Because it's going to be a pull and a push, and it's going to reach a stage where he's just not getting enough. It's just not worth his while anymore. The physical pleasure is just not worth his mouth amount he's investing. You know, a good business is where obviously you're earning more than you're investing. Therefore, all these investing, not getting enough pleasure, forget it, what do you need it for? Therefore, ki yikach ish isha ubalo. If he's going into marriage ubalo for the physical pleasure, for what's in it for me, then, well, now, okay, that's what you're in it for? Fine. Let's send Hilchos Gerushin. If that's what you're in it for, fine. Here's Hilchos Gerushin. If you're not ubalo, if you're going in it for the understanding of what it's all about, of creating goals and together with a wife, trying to focus on those goals and reaching it together and building up a home of Kiddush Hashem, then there's nothing, you can skip this parsha. But if it's a bolo, then it's Hilchus Gittin, that's when Hilchus Gittin kicks in. I want to give you two short stories to show how the Rabbonim, how Gedolim, what type of marriage they had. Reb Shlomo Zalman, now again, I don't make any yeush, any person give up hope with this maaseh, but Reb Shlomo Zalman, yeush means to give up hope. Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked before they buried his wife that maybe like to ask a mechila now. So it's a minhag for the family to ask mechila from the niftar. He said, I don't have to. We've never done anything that I have to ask mechila for.
He's from his wife.
He's never done anything he had to ask mechila for.
He's asked mechila before.
What's that?
He's asked mechila.
There's nothing. There's posh nothing. They never had. That's very unusual. I tell you a ma'aseh though that shows something which is usual, which a person can come to terms with. But that's a marriage. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, was once at a chasna. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, as far as I remember, lived in Monsey. Yeah. He lived in Monsey. And he was in Manhattan for a chasna in Manhattan. And they told him that they'll arrange a lift for him to go back. To go back from Manhattan to Monsey, which is a 40-minute drive. Yeah, the snow, not snow, whatever, 40-minute drive. Okay. So, in the middle of the dancing, he's introduced to the driver of that night, of that evening, and he said, he's a very nice young man. He said, oh, very nice. So you're going to drive me home? Yes. So do you mind taking me to the car park to see what car you drive? This guy's like taken aback, you know, guy doesn't like my car. Maybe it's a German car, he doesn't like, maybe it's not flash enough for him, and he doesn't understand this. So yeah, sure. So they walk all the way through the hall, walk right to the car park, get the keys from the valet, opens up the door. He said, no, what about the back seat? Open up the back seat. Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you very much. I'll take your lift tonight. So he asked him, Rob, I mean, your person's not into Gashmius, you're into Ruchnius. I mean, so what do you care about the seat? I mean, what car? Ridiculous. He said, no, my wife's here as well. And I'm going to be sitting in front schmoozing to you the whole way, whatever I'm learning. I don't care about the car, but my wife, she's going to be sitting in the back seat. I've got to make sure the car's comfortable enough for her.
Oh.
People look at it as, oh, right? Oh, very nice. No, but this is a God Lador. God Lador, his head is in the place where it's supposed to be.
So what happened? Why did he go to the front? You cared for the
No, he didn't go to the front. He went to the back seat. He sat in the back seat to feel what it's like for his wife. The story, another story I heard once from a friend is a story of Rabbi Twersky. Rabbi Abraham Twersky today is he's probably made a revolution in psychology today, where he's actually brought the frum world into a world full of tumma and tzonos, and he's actually given the world some kind of basis in hashkofa. A fantastic man, brilliant man. And his father was the Rav of Milwaukee. And the Rav previously before that, his son now is the Rav of Milwaukee, Rav Mechel, Mechel Tversky. Mechel Tversky.
Abraham was also loved
there
as well for
years. Oh, yeah?
Years.
Yeah? Okay, so Mechel Tversky, now the Rav, his father was Rav for 50 years in Milwaukee beforehand, he was in Europe. And he knew he'd met hundreds of people in Nebuchadnezzar, he'd visited them in hospital, he knew exactly the illnesses, exactly what chances are. He knew very well what was going on in Nebuchadnezzar. It was at later part of his life he got cancer in the pancreas. Yeah, pancreas is a part of the body, it's another station in London, yeah. In Nebuchadnezzar he got cancer in the pancreas. It's King's Cross and pancreas.
Sin pancreas.
Yeah. And Nebuchadnezzar in the pancreas, it's very, very, very quick. It's horrifically quick. It affects the body. It's a very small organ. So he called his son in, who's a doctor. Avram Tosi is a doctor, and he said, "Listen, Amarov, I've been around. I know what the chances are. You're a doctor. We know. I know you know. There's very little chance of chemotherapy. It's not going to work. Chances are so minimal. It's not going to work. And the pain and the pain and the suffering that I'm going to go through. I don't want my last few weeks or a few months of my life to just be given over to surviving. I want to be able to use it, make a useful time of my life. And if I'm not going through a chemotherapy, I don't think I'm mukhayyaf to go through this. The chances are so minimal. So they agreed. As we finished this conversation, he heard his wife speaking to a doctor outside, who is working in chemotherapy, and she asked him, "What are the chances of my husband surviving?" He said, "Very slim." He said, "What are the chances of him living a few extra days or a few extra months?" He said, "Yeah, you could maybe live a few extra days. Yeah, probably will live a few extra days," which also is extremely unusual. So the wife came in and said, "Oh, the doctor said that chemotherapy is going to work. He can have you for a few extra days, a few extra months." He knew there's no chance. His wife went out. He said to his son, "If your mother, my wife, wants me to go through his chemotherapy, I'm going through a chemotherapy. Why? Because if I don't go through with it, then she'll feel so bad that she didn't persuade me to go through that. Maybe it would have happened for the next few days. Maybe. Who knows? It would have next few days, next few months. Maybe, who knows? Therefore, I'm going to go through. I'm going to go through all that pain and suffering just that she should not have any feeling of remorse, any feeling of regret that she didn't convince me." And never, he went through the suffering, went through the chemotherapy, and he died. Very unlikely that it helped him bichlal. That is somebody of kiyimsa of going to marriage, poshut thinking about the other person. Kikach ish isha bolo. The person goes in for the physical pleasures, going in for just what can I get? Then it's a statistic. It's Nebuch. What statistics in places where people are into the gashmias? It's 80-90% in places like Hollywood. It's ridiculous. A person goes into it for the sake of real of what it's all about. Then he can skip out this parasha. He'll just skip it. There's a very, very fascinating concept over here about marrying an amoin amoyot. Perichof gimel posik dalut. Perichof gimel posik dalut. Leyovoi amoini umoyovi bikahal Hashem. An amoini and amoyovi should not come within the kahal of Hashem, may not marry into Klal Yisrael, which means even if they are geirim, we accept them to be geirim, but anyone from amon amoyov, a male from amon amoyov, may not marry in to Kahal Hashem. Gam doya siri lo yovi lehem mikahal Hashem ad oilam. Forever and ever, they're not allowed to join into become. They're not allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Why? Says the pasuk. Al devar, because ashle kidmu eschem belechem b'mayim, because they were not hospitable to you when they did not come out to give you bread and water. Baderech b'teischem in Mitzrayim and left Mitzrayim. And also because I hired for you Bilam ben Ba'or Mitzoyer from Mitzoyer Aram Naharaim lekaleko, to curse you. Now listen, this is very strange. This is a very strange pasuk. And it iron sips from the well from this week's parasha. The moshe I gave was that imagine a father is watching his daughter dating, or his son dating, and he says, "Listen, I don't need dating this boy's family. Why not? Because first of all, when I went past last week and I waved to him, he didn't call me in to have afternoon tea and crumpets. He didn't call me in. And also because he hired a hitman to assassinate the entire family." That's the possible thing. Why may Amon and Moab not join in? Actually, Kidma Eschem Belechem of mine could not invite the Belechem of mine. And also they hired the hitman Bilam ben Ba'or to wipe out the entire nation. That's the possible thing.
But he didn't do it in the end.
But he tried. He hired the hitman. So Hashem happened to. So what's the idea over here? Lechem amayim. Well, class only lechem amayim. They had the mon. They had mayim. So it was etiquette. Okay, you know what? They had bad manners. Etiquette was they should have called you in. And just. Oh yeah, sorry, forgot about that. They put a bomb under the car, and it was found before the bomb blew up and blew up the whole car. Therefore, I don't really want you marrying that family. What's the two concepts over here? One's etiquette, one's murder. Why bring one both together? What shaykhus is that?
I think that last Zman gave an amazing share on the Zahuda of etiquette and how important it is, and how
I did, but still the question's a question. Etiquette is very, very important. Derech Eretz is very important, but to compare Derech Eretz to murder, that's Sarah Hezba, that needs to be explained. The Vilna Gaon, as you may know, went on a self-imposed exile. He went into Golus. For a couple of years he went into Golus. And he never stayed in the same place more than one day besides Shabbos and Yom Tov. And he went round to you and self-imposed Golus. Hashkocha made it that the Vilna Gaon should be in the same hotel, obviously a front place, when the head of the Jewish bandits of that time, and the Jewish mafia in that time, they ended up in the same inn. And the Vilna Gaon was sitting there eating the Kedush of Tahari, eating his meal at night, when this chieftain, this mafia godfather rolls in, and with his whole gang, and they sit down eating at the table next to the Vilna Gaon. And there's swearing, and there's laughing, and he's talking about all the terrible things he did that day, the rape and the murder and the stealing. You can't imagine what this fella did. He was really what you call a perach, like a real flower, this chap.
What?
Perachachim, they call the boys that go off, they call them perachachim, the flowers of the Jew. It's a good loshon saginah. This guy, terrible. So as he's talking and laughing and joking around, the Vilna Gaon walks up to him and says to him, don't forget to make a bracha on that on that pig. So you can imagine the roar of laughter. A bracha on a peach? Great. Anyway, when the laughter died down, he said, you're making a big mistake. You think a Kodesh Baruch works wholesale? That, you know, when you come to Shemayim, you're a murderer, so you know you'll get hell for the murder, but you won't get hell for not putting on tefillin, and you won't get Gehenim for not making brachas, and you won't get Gehenim for kibbutz of the aim. You'll get that as well. So you might as well, those things that you do terrible and need to do them as far as you're concerned, okay, that's your problem. But at least make brachas, you won't get hell from not making the brachas. There's no such thing as there's no mass thing, you know, so Hashem forgets about the small details when the guy's a bad guy. Every single thing you do, the table and mutter, for good or not so good, is going to be judged and you're going to get schav or onish for it. Therefore, at least focus on things you can do. The guy, he got such a shock that's what's going to be. This massive boss.
What's
that?
Did he know it was?
No, he didn't know it was Vilna Gaon talking to him. But he got such a shock that the story goes he became a total Baal Tshuva.
Hey.
That's the story goes, total Baal Tshuva. Says a pasuk, Lo yavoi amoinu umayovi pekal Hashem. An amoin and moyav guy cannot come pekal Hashem. Why? Asher lekidma eschem rechem v'mayim, v'asher socholem espilem ben ba'oir. They had a chsonim derech eretz, and they happened to be murderers. Just because they're murderers does not mean they're not going to be punished. Asher lekidma eschem rechem v'mayim. They're going to get murdered. They're going to get pushed away because they're murderers. But that does not push away the concept Asher lekidma eschem lechem mayim. That doesn't disappear. And therefore the pasuk says that if a person, every smallest detail, whether a person does an aveira or a mitzvah, gets judged for. So Asher lekidma eschem lechem mayim does not get diluted just because of Asher socha lecha or espilem ben ba'ir. That's one way of dealing with it, of this pasuk. Okay? Understand? Another way of dealing is like this. Very beautiful pshat. There's certain people who excuse themselves on anything that is supposed to be doing with excuses. Let's say a person is a person who's sitting on a plane next to a fellow who's eating chaza, and a guy is clearly Jewish. Yeah, he's got Mr. Cohen, here's your meal, sir. You know, and they give him his meal, and there is a little curly tail in his plate. Right? Little curly tail in his plate, still wagging. So This guy obviously is Jewish, and he's obviously not that interested in Jewish culinary ideas. So, a person can think to himself, listen, you know, I'm not getting into his life. I'm not a person who's got the gift of the gab. So I'm not a speaker, I'm not a schmoozer. You know, there are professions, there's career professionals. Leave it to them. I'm sure they're willing to explain to him the finer details of life. I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm not a talker, I'm not a schmoozer. So he carries on. He carries on, and he watches his videos, and he takes out his paper and eats his meal, which has a, you know, little black and white little tail in his, and therefore he doesn't have anything to do with this guy next to him because he doesn't have the gift of the gab. He goes home, right, and his suitcase gets lost, right? At the airport, his suitcase gets lost, and he goes, and the people there are not interested in helping him. Suddenly he's found his gift of the gab. Suddenly he starts telling the person exactly what he thinks of the person, and he starts wheeling and dealing with them, and suddenly he's getting a very good deal for what happens. That's a stira. And when a person comes to Shemayim, of course, you don't give to the Gam? Is that so? Okay, fast forward a little bit. Whoa, a little bit back. There. And he shows this person wheeling and dealing and talking to the guy. Says the Pasuk, Ashley kidma eschem lecha b'mayim derech seischem Mitzrayim. You know why? The excuse is, we're not very generous. We don't have that much money. Fortunately, we don't have that much money. We're trying to cut down on resources. Is that so? One second. He didn't come free. You hired him all the way from Ram Naharayan to curse the Druze. Suddenly you do have money for that. So that if you do have money for that, 1 second. So your first excuse goes into the bin. Is going to show you, no, you're not short of money. When it comes to things you want to pay for, hey, you have money for that. Yeah, people never have your fundraising. Yeah, it's been a very hard year this year. Yeah, I'm sorry, I had to cut down on how much I give to yeshivas. Yeah? Next day you see the guy, yeah, the brand new Daimler outside, yeah, with every mod con, yeah. Never has been a hard year. So it comes to Shemayim. Listen, I'm not judging. When it comes to Shemayim, Hashem said, very hard year? You just bought yourself a car of £65,000. Yeah, with all the mod con. Yeah, so, do me a favour. That's the pasuk over here. Actually, kidma eschem lecha b'mayim. Fine, you haven't got enough money. 1 second. I should sochan lechabud but bilim ben ba'oy. Yeah, manage to have money for that. It's another way of learning it. It's another way of learning it. I have another 2 ways of learning about it. I want to maybe for another year.
These are like muscles and stuff like that. These are all like your dad.
Apparently. Yeah, it's my dad. Yeah.
It's not an insult. It's an
insult. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This
shit is going up on
the website. I'll give you one thought. You have to be consistent. You can't say in certain areas.
Maybe his extra money to his half the money he would have given to Tzedakah, to his Yeshiva, Tzedakah would have bought him two. That's your goal.
I'm not judging. Nobody can judge. But the Maisa, Hakadosh Baruch Hu can judge, and of course, Baruch Hu will judge. The Chas Hashem being trying to be Katrig on the Klal Yisrael. One that's Chas Hashem. The Pasuk talks about building a Ma'ake Legagecho. It's a very, very rich Pasuk, parasha talking about different mitzvahs. And this is in Parsha.
Don't think I'm sure we need to speak about this, shall we?
Let's give
me. Might as well put the books back on the shelf that I was going to look at.
So where's the Parsha of Marke?
Well, give me.
I've read it.
What? Marker.
Building a fence.
Oh, yeah. Perik Chofei Pasuk Ches. Kisivne Bayis Chodosh. If a person builds a new house. Kisivne Bayis Chodosh. A person. Perik Chofei Pasuk Ches. Kisivne Bayis Chodosh. And this is, I think, this is my own thought. And I don't know if it's Emmet. If not Emmet, it's at least what they say, Korav Emmet. Kisivne Bayis Chodosh. If a person builds a new house. You should build a fence around your roof. And you should not have blood in your house. Because a faller will fall from it. Now there's a few difficulties in this pasuk. I can understand. Not put domin beisach. I mean, that's obviously a reason why I don't want anyone to die. And then it says because a faller will fall from it. I mean, isn't obviously first if you have it keep alive, obviously it's going to fall from it. If you what are you adding kiyipol because the faller will fall. What's shak kiyipol hanoifel? Kiyipol mimenu. What's kiyipol hanoifel mimenu? The faller will fall. Kiyipol, you'll fall from it if you don't build a roof around your house. Yeah, somebody will fall from it. Kiyipol hanoifel. What's extra hanoifel? And why does it give a reason behind it? Posh it. Anyone will realize that it makes sense. The reason why you got to build a market is because it's dangerous otherwise. Why? That seems to be superfluous. Okay, so there are limudim al pi halacha from this pasuk. I'm not going into it within halacha. Al pi hashkafa, I want to bring it to derech moshel. Erel is a time for reconstructing. Erel is a time for creating a new reality, for doing tshuva, for creating a new self. And therefore, the ideas of tshuva is that the pitfalls, the neglect that a person unfortunately went through in the previous year has to be done, has to be changed. And the way that's done is simply by making what we call a geder, by making gedorim, by making fences among oneself. For example, if there's certain bad friends, certain bad influences who cause a person to do bad things, it makes very little sense next time on Chutzlaritz to come into contact with that bad influence. A person has a difficulty speaking Lashon Hara when he's speaking to a certain person. It makes sense to attempt either to learn Hilchos Lashon Hara and distance himself within the halachas, or to distance himself from that kind of conversation with that person. You've got to build fences. Now, what a person can do is, a person can make a major mistake, and they can build fences that are impossible to uphold, impossible to keep. Okay? It's impossible for a person to keep those fences. Now, what will happen is, unfortunately, a person goes on these fences, and he goes around it, what will happen is, he'll feel that, since I broke the fence, you know, since I've messed up around the fence, therefore, you know, for example, a person has a bad friend, and that bad friend takes him and knows that friend, he always gets drunk with that friend. Okay? And when he gets drunk with that friend, yeah, terrible things happen. So, he makes a fence, I'm not going to meet that friend when I go back to England. Right? And that's his geder. Now, end of the day, the friend convinces him and he goes out with that friend. So he thinks to himself, I've already gone out with that friend. You know what? Finished. Done. I've messed up. You know, that's it. Completely relaxed. You know, just whatever happens, happens. You get drunk and the same thing happens again. Same thing happens again. Right? Says the Pasuk, no. So therefore, what do you have to do? You have to make a fence that is reasonable. A fence that is strong enough that's going to actually control you, that you have to realize that I may go out with that friend, but I'm going to make sure that I don't get drunk. And that is a kind of fence that you can actually, is able to have. Kisivne bayis cholosh, and a person is making a new construction, and a person is creating a new reality. I is doing tshuva. What should you do? But osiso ma'ke legagecho. He should create a ma'ke legagecho. You should make yourself a fence around those things that are difficult. Osiso ma'ke, you should make a fence around you. However, when you make that fence, v'loisosim domim bebeisecho, you should not make a fence that is too difficult to keep. Because if you do that, that fence you create may actually be the pitfall for your greatest fall. Why? Because you're not up to there yet. You are still a faller. You're still falling. And therefore, if you make a fence that's too big, you're not able to control that fence. You're going to actually fall deeper than you would have done if you made a smaller fence. The fall is going to fall even deeper than making a bigger fence unnecessary. And therefore, when a person creates a fence around his gagecho, around his mind, around his reality, he's going to do it in a way that the fence is not something that's going to create more blood, going to create more avails than it would have been if it would have made a smaller fence. I won't go out with my friends, but I won't drink. Not to go out with friends sometimes is impossible. Therefore, make a marker the gagecho, something a marker, make a fence around you, that's something you can control, something that's reasonable. If you make it unreasonable, you're actually going to fall more than it would have been otherwise. Okay, we'll stop here. There's a shout out next week.